Yeah.
For launch.
We're launching. We're having lunch. Here goes.
Launch.
Launch in 2, 3, 4, 9.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is the Boop Show, episode 214 for Monday, June 24th, 2019. Yeah. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. This is the Boop Show, and that's Brian Dunaway doing a dance. You're looking good.
And I'm all.
You know, like, both of us had days where we didn't feel very good, but we're doing show. We're doing a show anyway.
Dude, I feel so bad, but now I feel so good.
It's good to have a commitment to our audience who expects us to be here. And damn it, here we are. We're ready to go. Committed. Ready. Willing. Prepared.
And capable.
Oh, and capable. That's the other word I meant. Capable. But it's good to be here, and happy are we to be here. We should get right to
it. I'm gonna do my old man jig while you're talking.
Okay, old man jig.
Yeah.
You gotta
I found gold!
I didn't know it was going to be an old-timey old man jig.
Right, that kind of thing.
All right. You're always welcome to pull one of those out and let it rip. Hey. Let's do video game talk. We got a lot to talk about. Been a fun, week, I guess. Yeah, it's been 7 days.
Yeah.
And just about this entire time, my daughter's been in Japan, and I wanted to mention that because when she comes home tomorrow, I'm hoping that there's a lot of stories and tales about what she saw in various cities when it came to Japanese video game culture, because she was going to go to some old shops. She was going to try to find some old cartridges, some weird, rare games you can't find anywhere, and possibly a... like Super Famicom, which I know they're kind of dime a dozen out there. Well, hopefully they're cheap because, you know, I hope she's not spending her life savings. But she's going to bring back some cool stuff, and I'm very excited about that. I feel like the Boop Show in particular would probably like to hear what she brings back. Yeah,
yeah.
Benefit from whatever she brings back. So I'll let you know. I guess that'll be next Monday because she's not home till tomorrow. But good stuff. She did go to the Monkey Mountain. And, Brian, that place is full.
What? It's the Monkey Mountain. What is that?
It's full of those little monkeys that like to steal your stuff and run away.
Oh, I love those guys.
Yeah. They're kind of the best. Those are the best monkeys. And, you have to, they warn you there. They say, don't have your phone like, you know, out and loose. Don't have a bag that's just sort of hanging there unless you want to lose it. And they said,
Why are we so amused by that? Why does that amuse us to no end?
I don't know.
Like, it cracks me up. That little monkey stole my crap.
Yep.
He's like,
And you're almost not mad at the monkey, right?
No, not at all.
Because it's kind of funny. But apparently, according to her and the people she talked to at the tour, they have found miles into the mountain giant nests that are made of phones and purses and hats.
Oh, my God.
And loose clothing and things that they could rip off from people, and they build these big nest things out in the middle.
That's wild. So it's kind of like Smaug in Lord of the Rings.
A little bit.
Or The Hobbit, excuse me. So yeah, so they've kind of got their own little loot area. Interesting.
Yeah, that's basically it. Like a big, like Smaug. Or Smaug.
Smaug, the dragon. Smaug.
Benedict Cumberbatch and all of his shit. Isn't that who he played in the movie? He was him.
I think that was his voice, right?
Yeah. That was a big deal because you had we thought it was a big deal because you had him and then you had Martin Freeman in there as the Hobbit.
Right.
As Bilbo. But then we thought that was cool because like, oh look, a Sherlock crossover. But then they're both in the MCU as well. Oh my gosh, Doctor Strange and that government guy.
Mind blown. You know what is disappointing, though? I never played a Hobbit game where I got to fight Smaug. And most importantly, the part where I get to like surf down the gold mountain thing.
That's Yep. You got to do that in not Destiny. What's it called?
I don't know. That's a good question. Is that a game mechanic somewhere? I would sign up.
Well, it is. Right, it's the Journey. In Journey.
Oh, Journey. Oh, yeah. That
there's
makes sense.
A whole section of that thing where you're flipping down the hill, and it's sand, but it feels like you could be a bunch of gold.
That makes sense.
It's kind of like that.
No, I need it to be gold being chased by a giant dragon. Please and thank you.
I'm trying to see.
Voiced by Benedict
Cumberbatch. Yeah.
Cumber Thunder.
I'm looking here for Hobbit video games. I'm just checking real quick here. Oh, there was one called The Hobbit.
Yeah, but it wasn't. It wasn't.
You didn't have that sequence, probably, right? Is what you're getting at?
Yeah, it wasn't.
I forgot about this. 2003 came out on Game Boy, Game Boy Advance, GameCube, Microsoft Windows, PlayStation 2, and the original Xbox. And it looks bad. Whew.
Yeah, 59% Metacritic, which is being generous.
I don't remember this. I do kind of vaguely remember the weird CGI-looking art that we weren't really good at yet. It looks real plasticky and, I don't know, 3D Studio Max 1.5 or something.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't the Hobbit I was looking for. Like I said, I wanted it to be action-packed, full of running from dragons and sliding down hills.
Yeah, that's what we all want. That's not what they gave us.
I want it like an endless surfer, kind of like an endless runner, but like it's the endless surfer where I'm just surfing down gold.
You know why there's never been like a game like that?
I'm sure there
probably is. So I was playing Steep the other day. This isn't part of our lineup today, but I was playing Steep. That's the Ubisoft extreme sports game thing.
Right.
Came out a couple years ago. And it's pretty cool. They've kept up with it, kept tweaking it. It's got its fans. And it's fun. It's got an exhilarating ski model, snowboard model, that sort of stuff. But I keep wondering when I play it, when I fire it up, is why don't they have like an endless run? Maybe they do and I can't find it.
Right.
But I want like that feeling of just go, 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 go. It's procedurally generated. The hills come out of nowhere. Like that.
I mean, there's never been anyone who's went skiing and went, you know, my favorite part of skiing is
what's that?
The part where you got to climb back up the mountain or take a stop. No, the best part is the part where you're just going.
Yeah. The best part of skiing up is done away in your cup.
Get out of there.
All right. Here's my first video game I'm going to tell you about this week.
Ooh, you played video games?
I did. I played a game called Dota Underworlds. Sorry, Dota Underlords. Underlords. I keep saying Underworlds, which
Undercarriage.
Yeah.
Dota Undercarriage.
Dota Taint. No. Dota Underlords. It's a game. It's on PC and it's on mobile. It launched on mobile last Tuesday on both PC, both Android and iOS. And previous to that, it was in a kind of closed week beta on the PC. Now it's open to everybody who wants to play it. And it's on Steam. This is made by Valve. Yeah, that's right. Valve Software made a new game, and it is an Artifact, which no one's playing. So if you're worried that Valve would never put out a new game, you were wrong. They're putting out a new game. There's a long history and story with this thing. Sorry, go ahead.
They said, let's do something interesting with this Defense of the Ancients. Let's make it something different.
Kind of. I guess so. I mean, basically, this is the quick story version of this. This is not the long version of it, but I'll tell you the quickie story about this. This game started out as a mod in Dota 2. They have a little creator mode in Dota 2. You can make weird things and stuff. And it started out as that. Or there was a mod called Auto Chess. And it was made by a small Chinese development team that were like two guys. So when I say small, it's pretty much the smallest. Only thing smaller would be one dude doing it. And they put in this game called Auto Chess, which was basically a way of taking Dota and the concepts of Dota and using the characters almost as chess pieces, but not in a traditional chess sense. It was more of a like collect the right guys and then kind of have an automatic fight. Some people say it's like tower defense. I say that's incorrect. I do not agree with that assessment.
It sounds like tower defense. God, are you sure it's not tower defense?
I'm not going to call it tower defense because it doesn't feel like tower defense. First of all, there are no towers to defend. There are no towers to attack. What it is you putting dudes on the table and buffing them, giving them items as the game goes along, and then they just auto fight. It's more like Battle Royale meets a deck building game, even though there's no cards involved. It feels like a deck building game to me.
Right.
So you have these phases.
Isn't that kind of like Wizard's Chess? Isn't that what happens? Don't you like make your decision and you say it out loud and then it automatically does it? Isn't that kind of?
No. I mean, I don't remember Wizard's Chess very well, but imagine if chess was you just throw characters wherever you want them on half of the board and then they just go at it. It's like.
Oh, so it's more like Angry Wookiee Chess. I got you.
Kind of like Angry Wookiee Chess, except there's a little more planning and thought in there. Mostly it's during the buying phase. So you get gold every round. And during that round, you go into the store and you buy a dude or a lady or a character or whatever that do different things. And I'm not even going to describe the loot rounds because they kind of, you know, they just are what they are. You kill some creatures that aren't controlled by people. They drop loot. You choose which one you want. And then you can apply that loot to one of the characters or whatever. But during the buying phase, you're like, oh, I think I'm going to get Enchantress, or I'm going to get Puck, which is another character, or the Ogre Magi. These are all characters based on old Blizzard properties because, again, this is based on Dota, which was based on Warcraft 3. So they all look like, you know, the Illidan guy looks like Illidan.
Right.
Malfurion in this game is called Tree Prophet or some shit. it's kind of lame, actually. I wish Blizzard was just faster. I had a big rant on this on the instance, so I'm not going to do it here, but I wish Blizzard was a little quicker to glom onto these trends and put out their own games, because this is just their stuff being used again and they don't have anything to do with it, and it kind of annoys me. But anyway, if you know Dota, these names that I'm saying, you're going to know them. Where it's like Battle Royale, there are 8 of you in this competition. Mm-hmm. 8 people are humans. I mean, you can do it with AI if you want, but you all get in there. And last man standing is how it works. So you have 100 points starting with.
Yeah, is that right? I'm making sure.
Yep, 100 points. They're basically life points. And throughout the game, the more damage you take to those points, the quicker you're out of the game. Or the more you have, the longer you stay in. And games can range anywhere between 10, 15 to like 30 minutes. It can be pretty long.
Oh, wow.
Right. And not long for desktop, but that's long for a mobile game if you're playing it on mobile. So if I had one complaint, it would be that the game takes forever on mobile, and unless you're having a big, you know, toilet session, if you leave, you're done, you're just out, right? Like, you can't pause it. It's a live game, so you can't, you know, I mean, you can quit, but then when you come back, you're dead and you lost, because, you know, you're not gonna win if you're not there. Anyway, it's hard to explain without playing it. In fact, up till recently, I had a hard time even playing it because I found some of the stuff it talks about kind of obtuse and weird, and I think it's so new that it just didn't make a lot of sense to me in a lot of ways, and a lot of other players were like, well, you got to play 10 or 12 games before you really get the hang of it. This was back when the mod came out.
I'm done with that. I can get with that.
The mod comes out, it gets extremely popular on Steam, to the point that more people are playing it than a lot of the other games they would normally play. And
Dota's a real long-term game, right? I mean, when you sit down to play Dota, you don't just like, I'm going to play 5 minutes of Dota. You kind of like, you get your Mountain Dew and pizza, right? And
oh, yeah. You play for 45 minutes average per match. It's pretty long.
Right, right. So that's
most MOBAs.
This
like,
gives you your Dota fix.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I would say League of Legends, like, the same time. It takes you like 45 minutes or something to beat a game.
Yeah.
Heroes of the Storm, closer to 20 at a maximum. They tried to kind of trim that up, which is one of the things I appreciate about it. But yeah, like this on a desktop, it's a longer experience. On phone, it's fine. Or iPad's even better. Plays really well on there, but you got to lock in for a while. So it's great for like laying in bed and getting a game in, and it might take you 30 minutes or something.
Right. Cause but there's nothing to do in bed.
Yeah. And this is definitely not like a pick up and play real fast sort of game.
Right.
So anyway, I've done a terrible job explaining it, but I am happy to say I've come around on it. And, back to the history of it. These Chinese guys, it's very popular. Valve says to them, hey, why don't we hire you and you come make an official game here at Valve? You'll be with us. Come be with us, basically. And they do that all the time, right? Team Fortress 2 was that.
Right.
Portal was that. Left 4 Dead 1 and 2 are a team that were making that before they saw it. And then they said, hey, come work for us. So it was like, this is a normal Valve thing to do. But the Chinese guys said, no. We're going to go do it ourselves.
No.
I mean, I'm sure they weren't that rude about it. They probably were just like, ah, that's cool. We're going to do our own thing and control it ourselves. So they go back to China and they make a mobile game called Auto Chess. Literally the name of the thing they had is the mod. And that's already out on mobile and on Epic. Or it's coming to Epic. Is it already there? I don't actually know.
I have not seen it on Epic, but that does not mean it's not.
So that's their end of it. So Valve's like, well, all right, I guess we'll make one.
Right.
And in the meantime, it turns out everybody over at Riot, League of Legends town over there, have been playing this nonstop. They've been playing Dota 2's Auto Chess in the office, and they're like, we should make one of these. This is all kind of happening simultaneously.
Right.
So now there's a game over there called Hard Paint Tactics or Character Time USA. I forgot the name of it.
Character Time.
But it's
Character Time USA, is that what you just called it?
Yeah, it's I can't remember, but it's the same kind of concept. They're making their own over there, and I think that thing's in limited. Some people are playing it, but that thing's Team Fight Tactics. That's it.
Ah, that's it.
And it's not thanks chat, and that's not out for everyone, I believe, because I tried to get in there yesterday and it wouldn't let me. I think you have to be somebody to get it.
Right.
Anyway, I'm sure that'll come out in full at some point. So now you have all of these games based on this mod. It appears to be quite the hot little trend, like a new thing to do, to play. It's got bits of Battle Royale in it, the last big video game trend that we've been introduced to. It's got bits of deck building. Hearthstone players really like this. Like most, if you go watch like pro Hearthstone players, they're streaming this game now.
Right.
And the winner, at least right now, appears to be Dota's, which is the one I played. Dota Underlords. And I finally won a game. I lost a lot of games, but I'm having a lot of fun with it. And it took me a little while, but I think I get it. I think I get the draw. It is a mashup of lots of genres. There's a little MOBA in here. There's a little bit of RTS, a little deck building. I guess a little tower defense if you want to think of it that way, but it doesn't play like tower defense. I guess conceptually it is, because you're putting dudes on a board and hoping your side wins once the automatic battle happens. So right. There's that aspect to it, but there's no upgrade my towers. I mean, there are, but it's your dudes, and you're doing that slowly through the process of buying a couple of duplicates of the guy you like, and now you have a level 2 version of him because they combine into one. And like, there's, you are kind of upgrading your people, which I guess is sort of like towers. I mean, I will admit there's some underlying business that's a little tower defensey, but it's not the stuff that bugs me about tower defense. So it's working for me. And
we all know it. I mean, we all know what we're talking about when we're talking about true tower defense. We've all seen it.
Yeah.
We've seen the pure tower defense. And no, it's this isn't really
it's just not my bag, but this is not it. Yeah. And it is, I find it very fun. I think that they've got something with this. There are more people.
And the cost is free, you say?
It's free to play. Yep. Free to play. It's not really clear how they're going to make their money. Probably hats or, you know, skins and stuff. Right. I don't know. Characters maybe, but these are all Dota characters up till now, and so it's stuff we all know about. It's not like these are new characters or anything, but graphically it's nice. It looks great on mobile, plays great there as well. Looks great on PC. I think it's going to be a giant hit, and it already is. There are already more people playing this game right this second while we're talking than ever played Artifact, which is pretty much a, you know, that thing failed. That was a dumper. And so the only thing that would make me happier about all of this, because there's, and by the way, there is about to be a trillion clones of this. Mm. So I think the winners will probably be the big guys like Valve and Riot, but there are going to be a million clones, mostly on mobile, from every which direction with their own little take on it, and it's going to get ugly. But for right now, good times to be had in Dota Underworlds, Lords, sorry. Go play it. I like it. I think it's fun.
I think it's fun. And that's not a tower defense.
No, it's not. Someone in the chat room says, I've enjoyed Orcs Must Die, which is tower defense. Not really, though.
Yeah.
Not really. I mean, it is. He's right. Because you run around, you put your traps, you put your stuff, and then you go fight the orcs. In Orcs Must Die, I was at least able to ignore the tower defense aspects of it, which are, you know, I guess you can't entirely ignore it, but they were not so up front and center for me. What was up front and center for me was shooting well.
Right.
And in that case, or in this case, the elements that might be picked away or taken away from tower defense are also less prominent, even more less prominent. They're really tucked down behind everything.
The idea behind Orcs Must Die. Morks Must Die.
Yeah,
Morks Must Die. Nanu, Nanu. There was a lot more first-person shooter in Orcs Must Die. So I do agree that it is tower defense elements in it. Love that. By the way, love Monkey Bananas as well. But yeah, I'm with you, Scott. Once they start rolling around, you get to jump in there really and kind of massage what you've set up. Massage.
Yeah, this is all true. And Sidney makes a very good point that I actually think I kind of agree with. He says the question is long-term sustainability. Seems like an even more thinly veiled RNG simulator than Hearthstone. Absolutely, there is random number generation, which is what that stands for. But what they mean is it's, you know, it's Vegas a little bit. There's a lot of luck involved. What characters you get, when you get them, what the other guy got, You're all drawing from the same pool of characters. So, yes, there is some luck involved, absolutely. But there's also some skill. If you're a better player, you're going to win, just like in Hearthstone. If you're a better player, you're going to win. So I don't think I don't think it overwhelmed. The RNG is not overwhelming, but it's still a good point. You know, will it rely too much on luck down the road? I don't know. But that's my game. Enough about me and Dota Underlords. Let's talk about Kingdom New Lands.
Kingdom New Lands, you say? Well, I did get this off the Epic Store. Is the other game there? I don't know, but this was free a few weeks back. Epic Games have been giving away free games. You haven't heard. Better collect them now because my library is getting large. So you crash land on an island, a very pixelated island, and your job is very simple in this 2D world. There's left, and then there's right, and that's it. You get to get on your little horse as a king or queen with your crown, and you ride as far as you can, and you pick up gold pieces as you go along. These coins are sitting there for you to grab, and you pick up the coins, and then you run across some people who, like beggars, we'll call them peasants, and you toss them a coin, and they become your faithful servant. You gotta love that. So what you're doing is you're trying to rule this kingdom, this 2D pixel kingdom of mystery. You crash-landed there along with your horse and your crown.
Wait a minute, you crash-landed like in a ship?
Yeah, you crash landed in a ship. You crash landed in a boat.
Oh.
A boat of that time period. Okay. There may be ships. Okay. I don't want to give too much away.
All right.
But these are procedurally generated lands that you're landing upon. So there's certain elements there. There will be places to build walls and places to place archers, which, by the way, you recruit and then you give that archer his ability to become an archer by purchasing upgrades to your archery and buying bows and arrows, which then the peasants come by randomly and go, give me that. I'm now a bowman.
Oh, yeah, no, that's true. I think I played. Where did I play this?
It's been around for a while. It's 2016 when this came out.
Oh, I have this on Steam. I have this.
Right. Okay. By NOIO, I believe is how they say it. It's pronounced, the developer is N-O-I-O. I'm assuming it's NOIO. But, yeah, it's been around for a while. It's on sale currently if you're on, I think, let me see. Is there any deal tells me that you can pick up this game at the cheapest price at IndieGala, IndieGala. I do get stuff from there from time to time. It's at $3.74, but if you have the Xbox Game Pass or, like me, have the Game Pass Ultimate, you can play this on your PC or your Xbox, which is, I actually played it on the Xbox. I streamed it on Twitch, and then I went back and played it on the PC. And you should be watching me play right now if you clicked on the YouTube link I put in the show notes. That is my poor playing.
Do you do any of the combat, or are you just recruiting little dudes to do the combat?
You do no combat. What you do is you run back and forth as quickly as possible across the terrain to the furthest east and the furthest west. If you go too far to one extreme and you don't know until this procedurally generated, there usually is at the end, there's a portal. And out of that portal comes greedy creatures. Oh. They don't really tell you what they are, like little druids to me. And what those greedy creatures are doing is they're combing the lands and they're trying to steal your gold. What? Those little greedy buttholes.
That's dastardly right there.
It is. They look like little druids to me. Yeah. And while you're upgrading your stuff, and how you upgrade stuff is you collect coins. You go along, you will find them in chests, and you'll also just find them randomly on the ground. Mm-hmm. But in order to generate new ones, you'll hire archers, and those archers will go out and they will kill deer and rabbit. While you're not micromanaging, you turn the archers loose and they run about and they shoot the animals, and then later on you walk back by and all of a sudden coins just flow on your feet and you're like, oh, coins, cool. Dude,
I like coins.
Right. And you pick those up, and then you have it like a, this is, I like the way they keep track of it, because they don't really give you like a you got 30 coins. But what they do is you have like this little bag of holding, and it fills up with little pixel coins, and you can kind of count them if you've only got like 4 or 5. But once it gets more than that, you got no idea how many coins you have.
It's like real coins. It's like a big bag.
Like
of
real
money.
Coins. Yeah. You open your bag and like, how many coins you got in there? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I like to go to the coin star.
The look of this is really nice, because the whole thing seems to take a place next to a river or body of water of some sort. So your torch is always reflecting in the water, and
And there's a reason for that, because these are all small islands. And what happens is you're crashing these small islands as you go along. By the way, there's permadeath in this. You don't get to pick your character per se, other than when the loading screen first starts. I play with this with a controller. You can press the buttons and it will cycle through different randomly generated kings or queens, different colored kings or queens. You do die, and you'll have to start over possibly if you do that, because you'll lose all your goods. How you lose is if you have no coins in your pockets, and one of the greedy bastards come along, and they grab the crown from you, because if they can't get the gold, they're going to grab your crown.
Yeah, and then, that's how it is, right? You can't be the – what do you expect, right? If you're going to be the queen, if your people can't get the coins?
That's right.
They'll burn your – they'll melt your crown and make their own coins.
How are they going to respect you without a crown? So you can't. So that ends the game. So what happens is when you die, it starts back up, and there's a ghost of a previous king, which is always you, that guides you to where you need to start. They usually take you to your camp. So they bring you along and say, "Oh, follow me to the camp." And you go to the camp, and you have to throw up a couple of coins, and that starts the campfire. And then it brings up the archer place and the hammer place. And then you go out and you recruit peasants, and they come in and they start just building up stuff. It's a resource collector. You're trying to build all your resources. Wait, what's the end goal? Well, the end goal is to get off the island. So what you do is you'll find your crashed boat somewhere on the screen, and you will start feeding coins into that, and your builder guys will come by and they'll start building it up. And when they get through repairing it, it'll start a slow, oh my God, this slow crawl to the pier, which is at the extreme end of one of the two directions, either east or west.
Yeah, I saw her. She got there and there was nothing for her to do. She just sort of stood there. Yeah.
You just stand there like, what do I do now? Yeah. But so hopefully the boat will get to the end, and you'll run down to the boat, and you'll get on the boat, and you'll travel to a new land. And so you can continue to do this and keep going to new lands. Of course, it gets increasingly difficult as you go along. The greedy people come more often. Usually the greedies only come at night. I can't say for sure, but I'm pretty sure. So there's like a day-night cycle.
Yeah.
And I'm not even sure how long it is, but you'll hear the bells tolling, and you'll know, oh, it's day two. It's important to keep up with that, because as the days go along, on day one, there's one greedy person or greedy creature. And on day two, there's two greedy creatures, and they keep getting more and more. So the longer you're on an island, the worse chance you have of getting off the island, because the greedy creatures will come get you.
That sounds like a greedy creature to me.
Right. And it's a lot of fun, but it's very repetitive. So I dug it. I played the crap out of it. At $3.74, it's a steal. You'll definitely get some hours worth of play out of this. If you have it on the Epic Game Store, if you happen to catch it other week when it was on there for free, definitely load it up and play it. It's a ton of fun, and atmosphere is amazing what they can do with just those few little pixels. By the way, Kingdom New Lands, No.io, these guys have a new version of this that's come out. I think it's called here. Let me see quickly, Brian. Look, where is it? It is called Two Crowns. So there's Kingdom Two Crowns. It's a winter update now available. So it just came out this past year. By the way, you can put this on the PC, PS4, Xbox, and Nintendo Switch. I'd like to see it on the Switch. I think it'd be fun on the Switch.
I think the first one already is, right?
Yeah, it is. The first one, Kingdom.
Oh, Kingdom's on Switch. Yeah, here it is.
Yeah, Kingdom was. And also, then I think.
Mobile, I think. Isn't this on mobile?
I don't know if this one's on mobile.
Kingdoms Mobile. I'm pretty sure now, it is.
I'm not sure about the second one we play was New Lands. Okay. I'm not sure if that one's on
that
there.
That may not be. Yeah, first one might be. Not totally sure. All right. That was interesting. I like the way that looks.
It's a lot of fun. It really is. But it's not like something you're going to play a lot of. You're probably going to play it, get bored with it, come back to it later, play it, get bored with it.
Yeah.
Pretty repetitive, but it's fun.
One of those deals.
One of those dealios. You've played those kind of games.
I surely have. All right. Well, let's talk about my next game. It's a shooter. And, it's called Amid Evil. Amid Evil.
Mid.
Meaning a mid, like I am amid it. not a medieval.
Oh, you're among it. You're
I'm amongst it. Yes. I'm with the evil, basically. Gotcha. I'm around it. I'm near it.
Right.
It's okay, Brian, do you remember Quake and Hexen and Heretic and games like that? Do you remember those?
No, no. What are those? Yes, of course I remember those.
All right. That's this, basically. It's like a spiritual fangasm of...
fangasm.
It's a game that is absolutely inspired by games, especially like Heretic, which I think was... Hexen was the one based on the Doom engine. Heretic was based on the Quake engine, I think.
I believe that is correct. I'm going to be embarrassed if we were wrong, but I believe you are correct.
This is straight up 100% Heretic.
Oh, my. Look at this. This is so fast. Oh, yeah, I love it. It is
super speedy. Yeah, this, big weapons, like the shooting gun, which this character we're watching right now is only using his axe, but eventually he's going to grab this gun real soon. That thing is, you know, it's like it's like a staff right in the middle. And you just shoot it like a like an energy ball, and it's great. The rocket launcher type unit in this thing is actually this clawed looking staff with a planet, a small planet on the end. And you fire planets at people, like mini planets, and they explode like rocket launchers, and everyone gibs everywhere.
I mean,
it's straight up from that era, but this is new. It's got it's very straight. Like if you look at it, you're like, oh, even the graphics, like they're not even trying to voodoo to this business. Everything looks like Quake, just kind of crunchy and, you know, pixely and stuff. But that's on purpose. They're aiming for that look. I think they do a great job with it.
No anti-aliasing. This is made by Indefatigable.
It's something like that name. Yeah.
Right.
But it does feature a bunch of lighting stuff that you could not do back in 1996. Like there's no way that this is 100% indicative of what you could expect in those Quake era games, but it's definitely retro otherwise. It does have that look to everything, and it's very much a game from that era. There's no question about it. That's what they're aiming for.
Right. Overwhelmingly positive so far, and it just came out this past Friday, right? That was the 20th, June the 20th, so it's very recent. It's $16 on Steam right now. Sale, 20% off.
Yep.
I don't know if there's a better deal than that, but that's pretty darn good. I almost feel like I've either played this one or maybe this bundle deal. It's called, what is it called? Dusk. I've played a game very similar to this.
And yeah, what is that game? Dusk, is it? I think there is a game called Dusk. That's
yeah,
like
same
this.
People. And I think I've played either this or I played an early version of this other one, but I can't remember. But it looks amazing. It looks like so much fun.
Yeah, it's great. I wouldn't mind having more games like this.
Right. Because
they're just unapologetically those
games.
I think
I do remember this because it's single player and I so wanted it to be multiplayer.
Yeah, oh yeah. The whole time I played this, I thought, man, if these were like multiplayer arenas, I'd be in heaven. And they may still do it. The developer said, look, if this thing takes off, maybe we'll add that in. I think that would be fantastic. Even if it was just straight up deathmatch, nothing crazy. You don't have to do anything fancy. Just put it in there the way it used to be. And I think people would really like it. But it just really adheres to that aesthetic. It makes a point of taking you back in time when shooters were a much simpler, faster affair. And there's something nice about that. So I'm going to really recommend this one. It was only 16. I think it still is on Steam. Only 16?
Yeah, it is. It's only 16 on Steam right now. And it just came out this past Friday. So
yeah,
just get it now. Up. I don't know. Is there a better deal? Let's find out. Let's run over to Is There Any Deal? Is there... And what's the name of the game again?
It's called
Amid Evil.
I mean, clearly they're playing on words there, but
is that Evil or Evil?
Evil.
So, the best price right now going is going to be Steam or Good Old Games, also at $16. If you have a couple extra coupons there, sometimes you can get extra 5% off there. And there's also a Medieval Warrior Edition, which is interesting. So I don't know what that is, but it sounds interesting.
I think it just comes with soundtrack or something.
Probably so.
Luke Sidewalker in the chat, I'm just disappointed with you, man. He says, I know I'm not the first person to say this. It looks like Doom. No, it doesn't. It looks like Quake. Go play Quake. Did no one play Quake but us? Are we the only people that played Quake? Do we not realize how important Quake was to the future of shooters? Quake, baby.
God, I love Quake. I mean, Doom, yes, but Quake, it's like, it just fits so well. Quake 2? Oh my God, I lived in Quake 2 land for the longest time.
No, the Quake games are, they're everything, man.
What the hell is Quake? Get out of here.
Yeah, right.
Where's the boot button?
But Luke Skywalker's like, isn't Quake and Doom kind of similar? They're made by the same company about 5 years apart. Their tech is totally different. Doom was 2D parallaxing, and Quake was actual 3D polygonal. I mean, it was a huge step forward. Quake was this gigantic leap forward. Oh, my gosh.
You guys need to grab the Audible book that is all about the id experience. I'm trying to remember what it is. Is it Masters of Doom? I think it is.
Yeah, Masters of Doom. Yeah.
That is a great listen if you want to hear everything about how id Software became an integral part to, you know, to gaming. It's a great listen.
Yeah, and if I were you, also just go read. Just go
Looks
read
like a Pong to me.
Just go read a wiki.
Read
the internet. It'll tell you all you need to know about.
Or grab the they always have in the Quake patches that they get like every year. There's like they always have a big sale on Quake on Steam. So let's see what's going on right now. Do Quake 3 Arena. I mean, Quake 2. You really got to have Quake 1 and Quake 2. I mean, come on. They got the Quake collection for $24.99.
Yeah. Four is dumb and a waste of your time.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, you're not really playing Quake unless you're installing the mods. I mean, that's where the action was for me.
Yeah. More importantly, though, Doom, Quake, blah, blah, blah. Go back and look at Heretic and Hexen. That's what this game is recreating. Those were offshoots. They weren't mainstream successes the way that Doom and Quake were, but they were amazing. And it made us all at home realize, ooh, a fantasy setting is possible in a shooter. It's not just, guns and whatever. It can be staffs and lightning weapons and, you know, weird stuff. Like, it's so metal. Man, Hexen and Heretic were the most metal freaking games.
Exactly. It was like that whole group, that's what they were into. They were into this, you know, heavy metal. Just they wanted things to just be 1,000, you know. It's like, let's just go.
They did it. They got to 1,000 real quick in this game.
And you know what ticked me off? I remember when Quake 3 came out, I was so disappointed because it didn't feel like 1,000 anymore. It felt more like they were trying to be polished, and I got so mad back in the day. I like
Quake 3 as well, but I had the same feeling. Things were about to turn. I became an Unreal Tournament guy then, so it was hard for me to
Yep.
I picked Fates.
I was playing the Tribes. That was my first best experience with jetpacks. Right?
Oh my gosh, Tribes is so good. Tribes 1 and 2 were amazing. Early shooters. Early 3D shooters of the early, mid, and late 90s, and I guess early aughts.
Right.
Are a great memory time for me. Love
it. Yeah, and I was actually talking about this the other day with someone, and I think I loved this over-exaggerated fantasy style of gravity that was in these games, because physics didn't work. We've gotten so good with first-person shooter physics that it's almost too realistic, where Quake physics were just, you know, it's just dumb. It was just absolutely, it was a caricature of physics, but it was fun.
Well, I just played have we talked about it on here? Maybe we haven't. I talked about it on Core, but I played the Quake 2, ray tracing demo thing.
Oh yeah, that was so cool.
RTX thing. Yeah. It's rad.
Now, rad.
There's a reason they're picking a 20 plus year old game to test this on, because that ain't working on a new game. But it was a real glimpse into what's possible with like real time lighting systems. It was really something.
Oh man, I get so excited. I hate to derail so hard, but I've gotten so excited about eGPUs because it reminds me so much of fiddling with daughter cards and stuff. I want to get an eGPU so bad just to play around.
Just to mess with it, yo.
Just to mess with it.
Tell me about Void Bastards, which I almost bought this on PC, so maybe you'll push me over the edge.
Right. I'm going to push it to the edge. Look, Void Bastards, free on the Xbox Game Pass as long as you're paying for it. You have the Ultimate, do you not, Scott?
No, I have the PC one right now.
Pay $4.99 and get Void Bastards because you got the PC when you said.
Yeah, wait, are you saying on there?
It's on that one. It's on the PC. It's on the PC and the Xbox.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to get it then.
I played this in both locations as well. I played this on the Xbox for a minute, and then I played it on the PC for a minute and enjoyed it. By the way, if you're watching the video, that's me playing poorly again. This is a first person cell shaded, somewhat of a strategy adventure shooter. Is all these different things. It's yeah. almost is a combination of many things. There's you got your permadeath. Let's start from the beginning. Let's back up. All right. So your character awakens on a ship. Outer space, of course.
Yeah.
Far, far away from here.
Yeah. Cell shaded universe of cartoon.
So in your cell shaded universe, you have yeah. a gun, no bullets, and you have a guy talking to you. It's a robot, mm-hmm. and he is talking to you, and you feel very much like you've just stepped into the Twilight Zone. No, you feel like you stepped into Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, because the dialogue for the narration is kind of, you know, cheeky. It's a little cheeky.
It's very British, right?
It's very British. Yeah. It's very cheeky. You have been awoken because you are part of a dehydrated penal colony. That's right. Those who were bad and they would be dehydrated and then kept on this ship of penal colony, Botany Bay dehydrated yeah. people.
You'd had me at dehydrated penal, but keep going.
Yeah, dehydrated penal colony.
Yeah.
So you're on the on this ship, and what happens is the computer is trying to connect up with the main location, because there's been a sever. So they got to get back. So what they're doing is they're recruiting you, the dehydrated penal colony person. And what they do is they rehydrate you, and then they put this backpack on you that kind of controls you somewhat. And you start off randomly generated with perks and also things that will get you killed. Like, I think my second character that I phased into or rehydrated into had a coughing problem. So that was a definite negative once I got into gameplay. The gameplay is this.
Why? Is it because the creatures hear you up the hall, they're going to cough, and you're too loud?
Exactly. So there's a little bit of stealth in here, right? You got to be a little stealthy in some places, because some of the characters that you're fighting against are a lot stronger than you. So in this first-person cel-shaded universe, you dock with a ship, and you have to retrieve certain items, like you might have to go to the FTL. Yeah. So faster than light drive, you got to get in there and you got to get some fuel, because you got to light jump to the next location, which, by the way, you all manage through like a map that comes up, and it's just grids, and you can kind of choose the ships you're going to go to next. And those ships will have different obstacles.
Is this you playing, by the way? Is this you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's me playing.
It's just a couple of moments that cracked me up. I'm not hearing audio because I have it
no,
off.
No, no. I put all commentary off.
Yeah.
I put commentary off because I knew it was going to do this.
Yeah.
So, all right. So the story is really the best part of this game, but I guess the gameplay is awesome too.
It's got roguelike. Yeah, the chat room saying it's not a roguelike, is it? Free Ranger says he doesn't like those, but it's got a little of that in there. In the fact that you
have permadeath. That's about the only.
That's the aspect. Yeah.
That's about the only aspect there.
But your stuff carries forward, right? Like, not your stuff, but your
right.
unlockables and things carry forward, which is roguish. Right. But I hear, from what I've heard about this game, half the fun is when you die, you get another super weird dehydrated dude.
That's right. Exactly.
Like very full of personality and interesting story and all that.
Right. All your progress remains the same. The things that change are your character's abilities and disabilities. And so getting killed, there's a little bit of penalty because you do get bounced back to your starting point. And every time so far, what I've gotten to anyway, is I'm trying to get a line printer and I'm trying to get an ID card so that we can open up more parts of the map. And so that usually takes about 10 jumps.
What's a line printer? What is that?
I'm assuming it's a dot matrix printer. This has a very, it reminds me, like I said, what is a line printer? Is office stuff.
Oh, like,
there's a lot of office jokes in this thing, right?
Yeah.
That's mostly
art,
what it is.
Art style is really cool, man. That's my
the
favorite
art
thing
style,
about it.
The cell shading art style is the most amazing part. It looks like a graphic novel.
Yeah.
Is what the in between shots are laid out like a graphic novel.
Yeah.
And that's just a lot of fun. The enemies you go against are usually going to be either they're going to be tourist, or they're going to be these screws, and the screws are really hard to kill.
Yeah.
They're cops essentially, and then you got to face the janitors. Sometimes they're bad, but basically all those guys are just, you know, either blobs or janitors with skulls for heads.
So space travel looks a lot like FTL to me.
It does look like FTL. Actually, the space travel looks like FTL, and then when you first lay out your strategy for how you're going to go into the ship and retrieve the goods,
yeah,
is very FTL. And you can keep popping back to that map mode to see what's going on. First thing you usually do when you get onto a ship, you usually have a task that you need to accomplish. And that task doesn't always have to be done to continue the game. So you can choose to either stay or you can just leave and just go, nah, I'm not dealing with that. There's too many baddies. I'm going to take my chances and see if my fuel and food will last until I get to the next location. But if you do decide to go in, first thing I usually do is I head to the helm, because if you go to the helm and you have some credits, which you pick up along the way, you can unlock and find out where all the bad guys are and find out where the resources are that you're looking for specifically. And then you can go back to FTL mode looking, and then you can look through your map and make out a plan and try to get there. So there's a good bit of strategy. They're not trying to lock you into any type of gameplay necessarily. It's loose. It really is. Let me see if I can find how they described it again. It was an interesting description that the developers were making, because they didn't want you to be. And by the way, this is from one of the lead designers on
BioShock.
BioShock, right?
Yeah.
And Shock. What was the other one? Shock.
System Shock.
System Shock. Right.
It was kind of a big deal. BioShock and System Shock being your legacy.
Right.
That's no small bag of chips.
No, it is not. Let's see. Bye, bye, bye. Got to go to the Void Arc. Okay, so forget everything you know about first-person shooters. Void Bastards ask you to take charge, not just point your gun and fire. Your task is to lead the ragtag. Void Bastards out of the what? That's not really what they said before. They described it in a little better detail. I don't really know what the game is until you start playing it. And I think it's a little bit of everything to everybody. You can play it like a first-person shooter if you want to, and just keep dying and keep building stuff on your workbench if you want to, because you can keep unlocking new items. I like the Robo Kitty.
Everyone likes a Robo Kitty. Nothing wrong with that.
Who wouldn't like the Kitty Bot? You got to have the Kitty Bot, because you can land on a ship and release that thing,
mm-hmm,
onto some guys, and that's just fun to watch there.
Mm-hmm.
But,
The legacy of them being BioShock and System Shock devs is a key reason why I'm still interested in this, because say what you want about those games in their entirety or all this time later, they really knew how to make you, I don't know, get absorbed into a world.
Yeah.
And
I felt like they would make you lean into the game,
mm-hmm,
and then they would throw something scary at you.
Yeah.
So fantastic.
It's cool.
By the way, Void Bastards, if you're thinking about doing Void Bastards and you're like, well, maybe historically it's only been as little as $30 on Steam, but you can get it for the PC if you get this Xbox Game Pass. I think it's like $4.99 for the PC right now.
Yeah, I have it. It's only $5. So
yeah, it's
cheap.
Only $5. Yep. This would be a great first edition to play. I'm telling you, it's a blast. I love it.
All right. So also, I beat Resident Evil 2, and I'm happy to be done with that bastard. Speaking of Void Bastards, that thing scared me, but I had fun with it and I beat it, and I did it on stream. And thanks everybody who watched that. It's all on YouTube now. If you want to go check it out at youtube.com/ScottJohnson. And Brian also picked up Fallout 76 on PC. How far have you gotten? Just kind of digging in?
Yeah, just digging in. I haven't made it very far. Probably not even a few hours in, maybe 3 hours in. But $17, I picked it up off Amazon. They had the physical copy, which I thought was going to be a disc when it arrived. I opened it up and it was like a paper CD with a code on it. And I'm like, that's fine. I don't care. Yeah. So I redeemed that for $17. I was like, let's go. Let's do some Fallout 76. Where are my rads?
Yeah, it's
my rads at.
Yeah, where you got? Where are your rads at, son? All right. That will do it for that. Let us now dig deep into the world and lifestyle of this game we play.
It's a meme Mario.
That's right. Playing Guess This Game. Guess My Game. And Guess My Game is fun because we play a clip to each other. Neither of us has any advanced knowledge of what the clip is, and we try to guess what that game is. Brian, I'm going to play mine first. It's not even that good of a game, but I have fond memories for it. Okay. The only hint I will give is that it is an arcade game.
Oh.
That being said, there were some home versions, but the arcade games was where it was at. So here it is. See if you can figure it out. Here it is.
Help! Everyone's getting killed.
Oh, no!
Others are still inside. Save them.
All right, any guesses so far?
Wow, that sounds 80s AF, right? I mean, it's just...
I'll give you a hint. It is
90s. 90s. Ah, yeah. So it is... Okay, so it's radical. Okay. I got you.
Listen to this part. The best part is this part coming up. You got to hear this. This is only
there's
like
cougars. Here. Go ahead.
Check this out.
It's you.
It was this voice.
Nobody's here alive.
Sophie.
I don't know what this is, but I want to play it right now.
All right. I'll give it. I'll give in. It's a house. The original House of the Dead.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Someone in the chat got it.
Did I play this? I must not play this arcade because I don't remember it being that rocking out.
Oh, it was heavy metal to the metal, baby. And also some of the worst acting and story bits in the history of the world.
I'm getting that confused with something else because I don't remember it being so jacked up. That sounds like fun.
It's bad. TyrosX7 deserves some credit, though, for getting it right in the chat. Good job. He nailed it. All right, Brian, I'm going to play yours. I literally have no idea what this is, so let's give it a shot. See what we get. And it's muted. Why? Oh, I muted it. Hold on. Let me start over.
Now, you're going to start out and you might not know, but as it goes along, it's going to be easy.
Okay.
I applied my heart to no wisdom and to no madness and folly. I perceived that this also was a chasing after wind. For in much wisdom, is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow.
I don't know yet.
You've got a problem. I can't anchor him to the memory. Too much psychological trauma. He's rejecting the treatment, retreating.
Desmond, I need you to try and relax.
Let me try and stabilize him.
2007,
you say?
Yeah.
Just a picture of the past.
A little known Ubisoft title.
Okay, hold on. Let me think of this.
You may have heard of it.
It's not the original Assassin's Creed, is it?
Of course it is, Desmond.
Oh, it's the future crap in that game. They kind of quit doing that. I shouldn't say they quit doing it. They still do it, but it's super small and not really a big deal anymore.
Yeah.
So like the newest one, Odyssey, you're almost always playing in the new world or the old world.
Right.
And then very rarely you're sent back to some Animus bullshit. And it's always the worst when you do. It's
right.
Like, 12
years ago, Scott, 12 years ago, you were still in your 30s.
Yeah, I was. Wait, was I 12? Hold on. Yeah. Yes, I was.
Yeah. Yeah. You weren't even thinking about it. You weren't even over the hill yet. Look at that.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I enjoyed my 30s. I think I did. Look, it's one of my favorite all-time series. I love everything that is Assassin's Creed, and I like where they're taking it these days especially, but I don't know why I didn't recognize that. I should have recognized it.
Right. Go back and play it, because I don't know how well it held up. I mean, it still holds up. I mean, it's still a classic, but
yeah.
It's like, wow, we've come a long way.
We have, and I'm glad narratively they've gotten to a place where that stuff is, they don't have to try to force that Desmond stuff down my hole, you know?
Right. Get your Desmond out of my hole.
Yeah, get Desmond right out of my hole right now, buddy. No Desmond in my hole. That's what I say. Hey, let's do a thing. Hold on. There it is. Let's do an email from a listener whose name is Sam. He sent us an email at boopshow@gmail.com. That is boopshow@gmail.com. And Sam says this. Oh, I'm going to sneeze. Hold on.
That's not what Sam says. I'm saying that.
Well, Sam could be either way, right? Don't have to be a boy or a girl, right?
It could be anything. It could be
somebody's dog.
I'll say they. How about they?
There you go.
They say.
they.
Oh, allergies, dude. They're killing me. Says this. Hi, Boop Show. I love you guys. Now on to my question. Do you remember the first video game you ever played? I find this really hard to do, and maybe you guys would have better memories.
Sam. Oh, yeah.
Well, Sam.
Nailed it. I got this. No problem.
I don't. I can't remember. I think it was combat, but I don't remember. It's been too
long. I remember it very well. The first video game I ever played was Atari Pong. My father brought it home in the middle of the night one Saturday night when he got off work. And me and him stayed up, and it was the most amazing thing I'd ever done. Two paddles and a couple of lights on a 13-inch tube. It was amazing.
And this was this was in the, you say it was in the middle of the night? That's crazy. What was he doing with the
machine? Middle of the night is how I remember it. This is something I want to explore with my dad. I want to go back and talk to him about it, because when you're 4 or 5, which I was, 10 o'clock would be in the middle of the night.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
But it was definitely, I was definitely long asleep. Huh. My dad came in, I woke up, and I'm like, what are you doing? Because he'd already hooked it up, and I'm like, what's going on? I'm in there rubbing my eyes, what's going on? Oh, my God, what is this thing?
Yeah,
what do you call this?
I mean, I there was probably some arcade game that I played once or twice and don't remember. I just remember combat at my cousin's house. They got a 2600 or had one, and we got there, and we were like, whoa, video game. Never played this before. But really, I never had it. Like, we never owned a 2600 growing up. We were the first time we really started really messing with consoles was with friends who had Intellivisions or a ColecoVision or something like that. And in our house, it was the NES. And I had to buy the damn things. My parents were like, oh, no, we don't need any of these video games in the house. I'm like, yeah, we do.
These things will make you go straight to HE double hockey sticks.
Which is ironic because my dad was owned arcades and stuff, but my mom was like so opposed to these home systems.
Well, it was a different time. I mean, arcades weren't necessarily like we thought about them during the 80s and 90s. Arcades during the 70s were a lot of pinball machines and a couple of different things, right?
Yeah, but that went on all through the 80s. Like, he had arcades right up through 85.
Right.
And I was like 14, 15 when that business ended. But part of the reason it ended is because home consoles got really good and started cutting into the bottom line of arcade owners, which screwed us over. So maybe that's why they didn't want me to have an NES, but anyway, I think that might have been my first. Maybe Space Invaders in the arcade was maybe my first. But I played Pong after all of that, which is weird, right? It's very odd to have played Pong later, but I did.
Right, right. Pong was, like I said, was my first experience, and it was a interesting experience. Very simple game.
Yeah, I have a 2600 now. It's old and doesn't work, but it's sitting over there. So I appreciate it for what it is.
I have,
just never had one growing up.
I have cartridges.
Yeah?
I don't have a... Man, all this retro stuff is coming back big time.
I know. Are you going to get that thing when it comes out? The
Sega? The Sega?
No, no. The Sega one I think I want, actually. But Atari thing. Atari VCS?
No, the Atari doesn't attract me at all, because I've had an Atari 2600 in my possession at an older age and realized those games are just too simple to really bring more than a couple of minutes nostalgia back. Pitfall, I used to play for hours, but there's no way I could play Pitfall for more than like 20 minutes now, and I'd be like, oh my god, kill me.
Yeah, I same. Man, the allergies, sorry, they're killing me. I'm playing my own little video game here, which is chase the snot out of your own head. Games, what were we saying? Oh, Sam, there's your answer. That's what we remember. I'm sure that other people have older stuff. Chat room's having a conversation about all this stuff. Hey, that C64 one though, do you want that thing?
Yeah, I have that thing. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah. You're the one that has it. That's right.
Yeah.
I thought it was Ibit in my head, but you're the Brian that has it. Okay. You're a jerk for having that.
They're super. See how small they made it?
Yep. Look at that
it's
thing.
It's so small. It's just a little bitty.
Hold on. That's a real one.
Yeah, it's a Commodore 16, fool. Get out of here.
16? Really?
Yeah. You don't remember the 16?
No.
Very few people do. Most people either had a VIC-20 or a 64 or a 128, but no, there was a little short time when there was a Commodore 16.
What is the Genesis called that's coming out? It's not Tiny Genesis. It's something else.
I wish it was, though. That's a great name.
Here it is. Sega Genesis Mini. All 42 games coming to the Tiny Console. Let's see. Road Rage 2 is on there. Oh.
See, that'd be good.
All right. You're getting... Let's see if I can find this list. Okay, you ready for this? Here's what we're going to get.
Yeah.
Oh, my nose. Tetris, Darius, Virtual Fighter 2, Alicia Dragon, Monster World 4, Kid Chameleon,
ah.
Road Rash 2, Eternal Champions. Oh, I played that.
That's a good twofer right there.
Columns, Dynamite Heady, Strider, Light Strider. Or sorry, Light Crusader. Like sorry, I got that wrong. Then we have the rest that have now been announced. Sonic the Hedgehog, Echo the Dolphin, Castlevania Bloodlines. Great game. Space Harrier 2, Shining Force, Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine.
Ooh, Mean Bean Machine, that's a great one.
Yep, Toe Jam and Earl, the first one. Comic Zone, oh, Altered Beast. Rise from your grave. Castle of Illusion, starring Mickey Mouse. Great game. World of Illusion, starring Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. Thunder Force 3, Super Fantasy Zone, Shinobi 3, Streets of Rage 2, Earthworm Jim, Sonic the Hedgehog, Contra Hardcore, Land Stalker, Mega Man, The Wily Wars. Yeah, Dr. Winey. You knew that, don't you?
Yeah, but God, that's a lot of... No, who? Who?
It's this guy.
That's a good question.
That guy's Dr. Winey.
No, that guy.
Yeah, you know him. You love him.
Yeah, that's a lot of games. They not play around.
I'm not even near done. I'm not going to read all these because it's 45 titles, but it's pretty strong. Yeah. I want, of all these, let's see. I don't see it on here, but I would love... I guess because it's third party, but I'd love the... EA used to make these Desert Strike games.
Oh,
those were good. And so
those were good.
So was there's a game called Subterranea.
Oh yeah,
which is actually have music from it. I think. Yeah.
You know what feels great?
Check this out. So good. Let me skip ahead a little.
So good.
Pretty good for a Genesis sound chip. So good. But yeah, the Subterranea was one of my favorite games and no one ever heard of it, but I did. I loved it.
So fun. Hey.
Yeah.
You know what feels fantastic?
What does?
These keyboards. The Commodore 64 keyboards are so good. Feel that all the little spring. Oh, feel that. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's the stuff. Very tactile.
Uh-huh. Mm. NBA Jam was really good on that console. Is it on here?
Oh, remember the NBA Jams.
No, it's not. I must be too licensed out. Because you're not going to get these ones that cost licensing to NBA teams, everything else. Like, right, they're not going to put that on there.
Was it NBA Jams ahead on the NES? Is that
NES? Right. No, Super NES and Genesis were the first home consoles to get.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking
to get that. And it was just a really good port on the Genesis at the time.
And whichever one it was, I remember there was a catch-up mechanic, and I used to drive my friends crazy because I would get behind on purpose.
Yeah.
And then if you timed it just right, you could just whip right past them, dropping three-pointers.
Yep. You remember Vector Man? Do you remember that?
Oh, I think I do.
Yeah, you can play that one. Do you remember? There's so many of these.
Do you remember?
The only other thing I don't see here, I wish was here. Probably, what's it called? I don't remember the name of it. There was a game I loved on the Genesis, but I know. The only hockey game you'll ever need, NHL. 1994. NHL 94 is the greatest hockey game ever made, but there's no way it's on here because it's EA and that's a licensing nightmare. So that bums me out. I think I'll get it though. I think this one looks worth it. And apparently the emulation stuff in there is like solid, like better than the PlayStation 1 piece of shit. Didn't you buy one of those? You bought one of those.
Yeah, I got the PlayStation. That's been the weakest of all of the mini consoles is this PlayStation Classic.
Yeah, it's garbage.
It's not great.
I'm going to call it hot garbage. How about that? That's what I'm going to do.
It's not the worst thing ever. I mean, I've seen some people that would just like, you know, they say it was basically Satan, but it's not that bad.
It's
not good.
No.
At 30 bucks, it's a good little console at 30 bucks.
You think not quite Satan level?
No.
Could be, though.
Yeah.
Well, all right. There's your email. There's some fun trips down memory lane. And thank you very much, Sam, for sending that in. Again, boopshow@gmail.com, or you can leave us a voicemail, 801-471-0462. That's 801-471-0462. Find us on the internet at boopshow on Twitter. You can also go to boopshow.reddit.com if you're more of a Redditor. And all things else are available at frogpants.com/BOOP. I think that's going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Can you think of anything else? Have I missed anything? Have we covered it all?
I don't know. Well, what are you playing this week? You got anything already planned?
Not queued up necessarily, although a lot more of this Underlords business, I think.
Right. Did you visit the Epic Store? I've heard a lot of people go, oh, I haven't checked in a couple of weeks and I've missed some of the free games. They're doing them, I think, every week now.
Yeah, I haven't looked lately. What's their the last one I got was the one that we talked about last week with the guy with the whip.
The guy with the whip. City of Brass.
Yeah.
So yeah, you've missed one, I believe, in between there. Right now they have Rebel Galaxy. If you want to grab that, I think you already have that.
It's one of my favorite games of 2015. Right. I already have it.
And if you haven't picked up the last day of June, they will be having last day of June near the last day of June, June 27th through July the 4th. That's a great game if you haven't played it. I played it here for the Boop Show sometime last year, I believe.
I have a theory. Would you like to know my theory?
Give me it.
I have the theory that the reason they're putting Rebel Galaxy up for free on the Epic Store, where also they have exclusivity for Rebel Galaxy 2 Outlaws.
Right.
I think this is a lead up to actual release because we've never gotten a release date. So I think what they're doing is like, hey, try that first game for free. You think you like that? Boy, oh boy. Wait until you spend $30 on this hot new title called Outlaws.
Right.
That's what's going to happen. That's my current theory that I'm going with it.
I'll tell you, people had some doubts when this Epic Games Store went up, but I'm not doubting it right now. I got a pretty good library going on, and it, when I get ready to launch games, I will sit there and hover over Steam and think, do I want to start my Epic Store or my Steam Store? I really do.
Yeah. This is all true. Anyway, we'll be back next week to talk about that and a bunch more. So come back next week right here to the Boop Show. I think it's going to do it for me, for Brian, for all of you. We hope you have a great week. We'll talk to you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like Steam.
Yeah.